and welcome back. We're diving into something today that I think we all struggle with sometimes, especially if you're in a busy role, how to be improductive, how to get things done. We are deep diving into a blog post today by Nicole Brown. It's called 10 Proven Ways to Boost Your Productivity, a Busy CEO Woman's Guide. And it's from Chole and CO Partnerships. It was published pretty recently, actually, just on February 16th. Now I know the title says CEO, but don't worry if you're not a CEO. These tips are for anyone who wants to get more done in less time and, just feel less overwhelmed in general.
I think that's a really important point that, even though it might be geared towards one specific group, a lot of these principles are very universal. And I think you can apply them to almost any job or any lifestyle, even.
And there are some really interesting things that are mentioned in this blog post, like time blocking. I've heard that's really helpful for busy people. Have you ever tried time
I
blocking?
have. I'm a big fan.
Okay, cool. Well, maybe we can get into that a little bit more. And then also the Eisenhower Matrix, which sounds very official, but maybe also really helpful. So let's see.
Let's dive in.
Okay, so first up, Nicole dives right into scheduling, and she is a big fan of scheduling everything using this technique called time blocking. I have to say, I'm intrigued, but also a little skeptical. Can you really plan out every minute of your day?
So I think with time blocking, it's not so much about planning every single minute of your day. It's more about being intentional with your time. So you're assigning blocks of time for specific tasks, almost like making appointments with yourself throughout the day.
That's a good way to think about it.
So that way you're being more proactive about how you spend your time. You're not just reacting to things as they come up. You're actually setting aside dedicated time for the things that you need to get done.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about when things come up, like unexpected problems or, just distractions?
That's where the buffer time comes in. So, you build in a little bit of extra time between tasks so that you have that flexibility. If something unexpected does happen, it doesn't completely throw off your whole schedule.
That's really smart.
And also, it gives you a chance to, take a break, clear your head before moving on to the next task.
I mean, sometimes I think we forget to do that. Just take a minute and breathe. That's a really good point. So, okay, time blocking can help us manage the chaos, but then how do we even decide what goes on the schedule in the first place?
Well, that's where Nicole's next point comes in, defining your role. She talked about how important it is to have a really clear understanding of your job description. What are you actually responsible for? And it sounds basic, but you'd be surprised how many people are not entirely clear on what their core responsibilities are.
Oh, I bet.
And that can really lead to a lot of wasted time and effort if you're not sure what you should be focusing on.
If you don't know what you should be doing, you're going to end up doing a lot of things that you shouldn't be doing.
So when you have a well-defined role, it helps you to filter out distractions, prioritize the tasks that are actually aligned with your goals, and even delegate more effectively.
Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. So we've got a clear understanding of our role, and now we're ready to start time blocking. But where do we begin? Like, my to-do list already feels like a mile long.
Yeah, that's where structured lists come in. And she's not just talking about daily to-do lists. She's talking about weekly, monthly, quarterly, even annual lists. It sounds like a lot, but it's about creating this roadmap for your success. You're breaking down your big goals into smaller, more manageable tasks, and each list becomes a tool for you to track your progress.
Okay, so it's less about putting out fires and more about having a plan, for the short term and the long term.
And let's be honest, there's something incredibly satisfying about checking things off a list, right?
Oh yeah, love that. Love that feeling. But even with the perfect list, I still struggle with what to do first. How do you choose, when everything feels urgent?
The prioritization dilemma. Well, Nicole emphasizes the importance of differentiating between urgent tasks and important tasks. And she introduces this tool called the Eisenhower Matrix. Have you heard of this?
I feel like I've heard of it, but I don't really know what it is.
Okay, so basically it's a square divided into four quadrants, and each quadrant represents a different level of urgency and importance.
Okay, I can picture that.
So the top left quadrant, that's for tasks that are both urgent and important. These are the things you absolutely have to deal with right away. Think deadlines, crises, anything with immediate consequences if it's not taken care of.
Okay, got it. So like drop everything and do this now kind of tasks.
And then the top right quadrant is for tasks that are urgent, but not necessarily important. So these are often things that are distractions, maybe requests from other people that can kind of pull you off track.
So those are maybe things that you could delegate or even, just say no to.
And then we move down to the bottom left quadrant.
Okay.
And these are for tasks that are important, but not urgent.
Okay.
So these are the things that contribute to your long-term goals, your big picture projects. But they don't have like an immediate deadline looming over them.
So things like strategic planning or maybe like professional development.
Exactly. It's about being proactive and scheduling time for those things.
I see. Before they become both urgent and important.
Right. Exactly. And then that leaves us with the last quadrant, bottom right. And these are tasks that are neither urgent nor important.
Okay.
Time wasters. Distractions that kind of suck up your time and energy but don't really contribute to your goals.
I think we all have those.
We all do. Yeah. The key is to be aware of them and then find ways to minimize them. So the Eisenhower Matrix is a really helpful tool for prioritizing.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah.
Are there other techniques that she mentions?
She mentions a couple others like the ABCDE method and the Pareto Principle, which is also known as the 80-20 rule.
Okay.
Maybe we can save those for another deep dive.
Yeah, I'm already feeling inspired. Like I want to redo my whole to-do list and try this time blocking thing. But there's one thing I struggle with, even when I know what my priorities are. It's hard to let go of control and delegate things, like delegate tasks effectively.
Yeah, delegation can be really tough, especially if you're used to doing everything yourself.
Right.
But it's a crucial skill if you want to boost your productivity and empower your team.
Okay.
So let's see what Nicole has to say about that.
Yeah, let's get into delegation. All right, so delegation, I have to admit, this is where I really struggle sometimes. It just feels easier to do everything myself, you know?
Yeah, I think we've all been there. It's like, if you want something done right, do it yourself mentality.
Right, exactly.
But Nicole really emphasizes why delegation is so important, not just for our own productivity, but also for the growth of our team.
Okay, so convince me. Why is it so important, and how do we do it right? How do we delegate effectively?
Well, first of all, it frees up your time so that you can focus on the things that really require your specific skills and expertise.
Okay.
It's about leveraging the strengths of your team, you know, empowering them to take ownership.
So it's not just about taking things off my plate. It's also about helping my team develop their skills.
Exactly. And when it's done well, it can be really motivating for them. You know, they feel trusted, they feel valued, they get to learn and grow. But it's all about doing it the right way.
Okay, so that's where I get stuck. How do you know what to delegate, and how do you make sure that it actually gets done the way you want it to be done?
Well, she gives some really good tips for that. First of all, identify tasks that are suitable for delegation.
Okay.
So these might be routine tasks, things that don't require your direct involvement, or things that align with a team member's specific skills and interests.
So matching the task to the person, not just randomly assigning things.
Exactly. And when you do delegate, be really clear about your expectations. What are the desired outcomes? What are the deadlines? What resources will they need?
Okay.
You know, just make sure that they have everything they need to succeed.
So communication is key. What about follow-up, though? How do you find that balance between micromanaging and, you know, letting things fall through the cracks?
That's where trust comes in.
Okay.
You need to trust your team to do their best work, but you also need to have some systems in place for accountability. So maybe that's regular check-ins or progress reports, or just an open-door policy for questions and feedback.
Yeah, so it's like a partnership, not a dictatorship.
Exactly. And when things go well, don't forget to celebrate those successes. Acknowledging accomplishments not only boosts morale, but it also reinforces that trust and that you value their contributions.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Okay, so we've talked about time blocking and defining our roles and prioritizing and delegation. What else does Nicole have for us?
Well, this next one might seem kind of obvious, but in today's world, it's more important than ever, leveraging technology.
Oh, I like this one.
Yeah, using technology to boost your efficiency.
I'm always looking for new apps and tools and things that can make life easier.
Right, and there are so many out there these days. Like, we already talked about Trello and Asana and Slack, but there's a whole world of technology that can streamline our workflows and help us manage our time better.
It's overwhelming, though, isn't it? Like, there's so many options. Where do you even start?
It can be, yeah. So her advice is to focus on your specific needs and your pain points. Like, what are the things that are causing you the most frustration or eating up the most time? And once you identify those areas, then you can start to explore tools that offer solutions.
So, like, if I'm always forgetting deadlines or I'm having trouble keeping track of project updates, maybe Asana would be a good option for me.
Right, exactly. Or if you're drowning in email, maybe Slack would be a better choice.
Okay.
And the great thing about technology is it's always evolving. So there's always something new, and there are always new platforms emerging. So don't be afraid to just experiment and try different things until you find what works for you.
Yeah, it's like a constantly expanding toolbox of, you know, productivity hacks.
Right.
But sometimes technology can be more of a distraction than a solution, right?
Right. How do you stay focused?
Yeah, how do we avoid getting stuck in?
That's where boundaries come in. And not just boundaries with technology, but with our time and energy in general.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier, but I feel like this is a big topic. You know, boundaries are something I personally struggle with a lot, especially when you're in a demanding role. It can feel like you're always on.
Right, it's a common struggle. And that's why she really emphasizes creating clear boundaries between work life and personal life.
Okay, so let's talk boundaries. Where do we even begin?
Well, she suggests starting with something really simple, just communicating your availability clearly.
Okay.
So let your team know, your colleagues know, your clients know, even your family know, when you're available for focused work and when you need uninterrupted time.
Okay, so setting those expectations and sticking to them.
Exactly. And learning to say no.
That's the hard part.
Yeah, saying no to requests that don't align with your priorities or that are going to stretch you too thin.
I always feel like I have to say yes, especially if it's coming from, you know, someone who's in a position of authority.
Yeah, but she makes a really good point that saying no is not selfish. It's actually self-preservation.
I like that.
It's about protecting your time and energy so that you can show up as your best self, both professionally and personally.
So saying no is not about being rude or unhelpful. It's about, you know, just setting those boundaries so you can be more effective in the long run.
Exactly. And it sets a good example for others. When you prioritize your well-being, it creates this ripple effect that benefits everyone around you.
That's true. Okay, so I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. Boundaries aren't just about productivity. They're about creating a more sustainable and fulfilling life overall.
Exactly. And speaking of sustainability, she also challenges this misconception that many of us have that constant work equals greater productivity.
Oh, yeah. I used to think that the busier I was, the more productive I was.
Right. We wear busyness as a badge of honor.
Yeah.
But she reminds us that our brains and our bodies, they just aren't designed to operate at full capacity all the time. We need breaks.
Yeah.
We need rest. We need to recharge in order to actually perform our best.
So it's not about pushing ourselves to the limit. It's about finding a sustainable rhythm.
Exactly. And she has a whole section on the importance of taking breaks. And she highlights the scientific benefits of giving ourselves time to rest and recharge.
Okay, so let's talk breaks. I like the idea of taking breaks, but sometimes it feels like I don't have time for a break, you know, when I have all the stuff to do.
Right. It feels counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But it's really important to shift our mindset and think of breaks as an investment in our productivity, not a distraction from it.
Okay.
And the science backs this up. Like, studies have shown that even short breaks can significantly enhance our concentration, reduce stress, even boost creativity.
So it's not just about feeling less stressed, it's about actually doing better work.
Exactly. And she points out that breaks can also lead to those aha moments.
Yes.
Where you suddenly figure out a solution to a problem.
Okay, so what are we talking about here? Like power naps, meditation, or just stepping away from our desks for a few minutes?
Well, it really depends on what works for you.
Okay.
Some people might need a quick walk outside. Some people might need 20 minutes of meditation to really clear their heads.
So just listen to your body and choose what feels right.
Exactly. It's about giving yourself permission to just disconnect for a little bit and let our brains rest and reset.
Okay, I have a confession. Even when I do take breaks, I feel guilty sometimes.
Yeah. Like, you should be working.
Yeah, like, I should be using every spare minute to be productive. How do you get over that?
Well, I think it goes back to that mindset shift.
Okay.
We need to stop glorifying busyness and start recognizing that rest and rejuvenation are actually essential parts of a productive and fulfilling life.
I love that. So it's about a more holistic view of productivity.
Exactly. And her final point really ties everything together beautifully. It's the importance of reflection and adjustment. So she emphasizes that finding the right productivity system isn't a one-time thing. It's a process.
Okay.
It's about experimenting and observing and continuously improving.
So it's not about finding the perfect system and just sticking to it no matter what. It's about being flexible.
Exactly. And she actually recommends scheduling regular reflection time, maybe like weekly or monthly, just to kind of assess what's working and what needs to be tweaked.
I like that.
Yeah. Ask yourself, what tasks am I completing efficiently? What strategies feel sustainable? Where am I getting stuck? And what adjustments can I make to create a more productive and fulfilling work experience?
This is really resonating with me. It's about taking ownership of your own productivity, not just blindly following someone else's system.
Exactly. It's about creating a personalized approach that supports your unique goals and your working style.
I'm feeling really inspired to implement all these strategies, but I have a question. She focuses on productivity in the workplace, but can these principles apply to other areas of life as well?
Absolutely. I think these principles are universal. So whether you're managing a team, running a household, pursuing creative projects, or just trying to get a handle on your daily to-do list, these strategies can help you create more structure, clarity, and efficiency.
That's great to hear. So it's not just about being a more productive worker, it's about being a more productive human.
I love that.
Okay, I'm on board with this productivity journey, but where do we even begin? It feels like a lot.
Yeah, well, I think the key is to start small.
Okay.
Choose one or two strategies that really resonate with you and just experiment with them for a week or two. See how they feel, make adjustments, and most importantly, celebrate those small victories along the way.
I love that advice. It's about progress, not perfection.
Exactly.
What strategies have you personally found helpful?
Well, one that's been a game changer for me is time blocking.
Okay.
I used to feel like I was constantly just reacting to whatever came up. But when I started actually scheduling blocks of time for specific tasks, my focus just skyrocketed. And I got so much more done.
That's amazing. I'm going to try that. What about you, dear listener? What are you excited to try? What challenges are you facing? Let us know. Share your thoughts and questions. We're all on this productivity journey together.
And as you embark on your own journey, just remember to be patient with yourself. It takes time to develop new habits and figure out what works best for you.
Right. It's a journey, not a race.
Exactly. And speaking of the journey, we're about to embark on the final part of our deep dive.
Wow. I can't believe how much we've covered already.
I know, but we have a few more things to share, including some personal anecdotes and some tips for overcoming those common roadblocks.
All right. I'm ready for round three. Okay. Round three of our productivity deep dive. We've covered so much from Nicole's blog post. What's really stood out to you so far?
You know, it's funny. I think for me, it's that this isn't just like a list of, you know, quick tips and tricks. She really connects it back to self-care, too.
Yeah.
Like, taking care of yourself is essential to being truly productive. And it's about working smarter, not harder.
I love that. It's not about pushing yourself to the limit. It's about being more intentional, more mindful.
Exactly. And that whole section on boundaries really resonated with me. I used to struggle with letting work bleed into my personal life. You know?
Oh, tell me about it. It's so easy to just be constantly available. Like, you always should be working.
Right. And her advice about communicating your availability and, you know, saying no when you need to, it's so important.
Yeah, I need to get better at saying no.
It's tough, but it's really about protecting your time and energy. Like she said, it's not selfish. Sometimes it's the best thing you can do for yourself and for your work.
And that whole thing about breaks, too, I still sometimes feel like it's wrong to step away from work, even for a few minutes.
Oh, I know. It's so ingrained in us, you know, like you have to be constantly grinding.
Yeah.
But she backs it up with science.
Yeah.
Even short breaks can boost your concentration, your creativity. It's like a mini vacation for your brain.
I'm glad we're like debunking some of those myths about productivity. It's interesting how often our intuition is wrong.
Right.
And then she talks about technology, which can be so helpful, but also overwhelming at times.
It's about finding what works for you. What are your pain points?
Right.
What tasks can you streamline? And then look for tools that meet those needs.
It's like building your own coveted productivity toolkit.
Exactly. And technology is always changing. There's always something new to discover.
It's exciting, but there's something even bigger, I think, that runs through all of her advice.
Mindset.
Yes. It's not just about doing the things. It's about how you approach it.
Yeah, that intentionality and self-awareness.
Right. Knowing that we're all human, we have limits. And it's okay to ask for help and, you know, adjust course and celebrate those small wins.
Speaking of wins, I wanted to share something that's really helped me. It's that time blocking technique. I used to feel like I was always just putting out fires, but now I have these dedicated blocks for deep work, you know?
Yeah.
For creative thinking, even for answering email. It's been a game changer.
That's amazing. What about you, dear listener? What are you excited to try? Or what's been working for you?
Yeah, share your thoughts, your struggles, your breakthroughs.
We're all on this together, you know, this whole productivity journey.
And remember, it's a journey, not a race.
So true. Well, this has been a really insightful deep dive into Nicole's wisdom, from time blocking and delegation to technology and taking breaks.
The biggest takeaway for me is that productivity isn't about squeezing every last bit of energy out of ourselves. You know, it's about working with our natural rhythms and finding a sustainable approach that you can actually stick with.
That's a great way to put it. So go forth and conquer those to-do lists, but remember to take care of yourselves, embrace those moments of rest, and find what works for you.
And never stop learning.
Until next time, happy strategizing, everyone, and we'll see you on our next deep dive.